Hallelujah.
Be opening up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're still talking about co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. And I actually had somebody ask me this question this week who has been around, who has been a Christian for a long time, Spirit-filled for a long time, but really has never operated in the gifts or anything. And I think you probably find that to be true of many Christians, you know, that's been Christians 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, you know. And this person just asked me, said, well, what would be the first step to start operating in the gifts? And I said, well, the first thing to do is tell the Lord you're a candidate for him. He's not going to push you to do anything. Are you open to do it? Are you willing to be used by him? So I suggested it. I said, listen, the first thing you ought to do is just say, Lord, I'm a candidate for this. If this is one of the ways that you use your people, I'm a candidate to be used in the gift of the Spirit. And I brought the lesson with me tonight from my website. This one's called Coveting the Gifts. It's in the face-to-face section. Now listen, the revival that we're contending for is not a gifts revival, okay? If God wanted us to be operating in what we call a gifts revival, he could have done that 25 years ago. He was using these Corinthians in the gifts, as messed up as the Corinthian church was, okay? He's calling us to a much higher walk than that. He wants us to be more like Jesus, who didn't wake up every morning going, gee, I sure hope the gifts flow through me today. You know, he didn't wake up like that. He walked in like a master. You know, always see a towel draped over his arm and like a waiter at a fine, really fine restaurant, you know. And he's come to serve you off of the Father's table. And he says, well, what would you like for me to give you? What would you like to have? Oh, healing for your blind eyes? Yes, we have that. Healing for your crippled legs, we have that. You got a devil-possessed daughter, we can handle that. And that's where he wants us to be. But you don't start there. There's a progression. So I believe tonight what he wants me to do is just a little refresher on the gifts of the Spirit. And if you have operated in them, wonderful. He wants to operate more through them. He wants to operate more frequently through you. Because, okay, in fact, I said 1 Corinthians 12, but go over to 13 just for a moment. See, where we're really going is love, and that's chapter 13. I'm not going to teach on that. But just because we're, and Paul, okay, you're in 13, back up two verses. One verse, verse 31, 1 Corinthians 12, 31. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Boy, those two words together. First off, covet, we're normally told not to covet. I'm not supposed to covet your stuff. But we are told to covet this. I want it. I like how Lily used to say it when she was little. Papa, I want it really, really bad. Heavenly Father, I want to operate in these gifts really, really bad. And notice it. And then he says, earnestly. I'm serious, Papa. I'm serious, Father. I want... So let's just pray that. Say, Father, today, I am a candidate for the gifts. I covet them. I want them really bad. I'm earnestly coveting the gifts. I am a candidate for you to use me in all the gifts of the Spirit. All right, that's a good start. So he says, covet earnestly the best gifts, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And when Pastor Dave would teach on the more excellent way, of course, that's love, chapter 13. So he says, pursue love the same way most people pursue the power. You hear that? But that doesn't mean we're supposed to ignore verse 31 where it says covet the gifts. We're supposed to operate in the gifts and mature and mature more and mature more. And eventually the gifts just become who you are. You're just so mature, you just walk in and it's just who you are. But now you got to remember, who was this letter written to? 1 Corinthians. Can I say it's the most messed up church we have in the New Testament? It's the only one that Paul said, well, you little babies, I can't give you anything but milk. Which is scary that the all the gifts of the Spirit are milk? Did you hear that? You hear the gift? Okay, I'm going to be nice. First off, now, it is true that, you know, there's fivefold ministry. Apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. And Dave has taught it. Kenneth Hagin taught it. Others have taught it. There are certain combinations of gifts that go with each office. And that is true. An evangelist, for sure, should have the operation of the working of miracles in his ministry. That's just one thing. If he doesn't have that, he's an exhorter. He's not really an evangelist. Okay? Now, he might win a lot of people to Christ, but a definition of a New Testament evangelist will have the working of miracles. Okay? Now, I could go, there's a whole books written on this, and I've studied them all. I can't do them from memory. But see, if you're not careful, you'll come away with that kind of teaching with this thought. I had it for years. Well, then the gifts are just for the fivefold. You know, I kind of had that thinking for a while. Well, here's the problem with that, and I'm not going to turn to these verses because you know them so well. But in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you," was that just for those that would be in the fivefold? How many were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost? 120, including Jesus' mother. Now, as far as I cannot find his mother ever in the fivefold ministry. But yet, she was filled with the Holy Ghost. Spoke in other tongues. If she was filled with the Holy Ghost, did she not receive power? You see that? I want you to see this one in your own Bible. Hold your place in 1 Corinthians 12. Go to Acts chapter 2. This is right after they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And Peter is preaching that first sermon. The very first time that he preached after he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were so full of the Holy Ghost, they were staggering around like drunk people. And the multitudes thought they were drunk. So this is that message where he says, "These people are not drunk as you suppose," and so forth. But come down near the end of his message, Acts 2, verse 38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Stop there. If they do that, will they be saved? I mean, isn't that kind of the definition of being born again? You hear the gospel, you repent of your sins, and you get baptized in the name of Jesus. Where I come from, that's called getting saved. But then notice, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You reckon it's something different than what they just received in the upper room? No, it's the same Holy Ghost. And let's see how many here. Now notice verse 39. "For the promise is unto you." Well, that's if you're in the fivefold. No, the promise is to you and to your children and to how many? All that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them, how many? 3,000 souls. Another chapter over or so, he preaches again, and there's about 5,000. And I'm telling you right now, what did he say? If you be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That means 3,000 of them receive. 5,000 after that. Here we got 8,120 and counting. And they all received the Holy Ghost. Now, all 8,000 are not called to the fivefold ministry. Yet all 8,000 got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And that means all 8,000 received power when they received that Holy Ghost. Now, the reason for that, when you come back to 1 Corinthians 12 now, starting in verse 1, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I gave you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now he gets into the gifts. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, capital S, should be too. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now notice this, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to how many men? Boy, if you underline, you know, you ought to underline that right there. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Let's just go through the list here quickly. For to one is given the Spirit. No, excuse me. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, talking about the Holy Ghost. To another, faith, and that's the gift of faith, by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. And to another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. And to another, divers kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit. Here it is again. Dividing to how many? Dividing to every man. I'm going to underline that in my Bible. Dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, again, at Gary Carpenter Ministries, no, is that it? No, GaryCarpenter.org. If you go to media, and then you go to the face-to-face section there, there's a whole bunch of them. One of them is called Coveting the Gifts, and this is where the Holy Spirit at the ugly building, I'll go ahead and tell you, way back in 1998, I hadn't been out of the trucks all that long. We were just starting and didn't have any experience to speak of operating in the gifts of the Spirit. And he came and he gave me this lesson. And I don't know what else to do except to share it with you. I have experience now that I didn't have then where I have lived out these things that he spoke. Now, I'll tell you this. I have not lived out near to the degree that I think he wanted me to walk in it. And that's my fault and not his. Okay? But before I even get into the lesson, let me remind you of a few things. Number one, Peter healed the sick before and after he was saved. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, all except tongues in a church service like tongues for interpretation and the interpretation of tongues, all the other gifts of the Spirit you can find in the Old Testament. You don't have to be the pinnacle. What I'm saying is you do not have to be the pinnacle of love and perfection for God to use you in the gifts of the Spirit. Transformation is not required to operate in the gifts. Sure is quiet. Are y'all listening? Okay. To prove that point, the very church where we have this information is the Corinthian church, that Paul says, you little thumb-sucking babies, I can't give you meat. All I can do is give you milk. Yet he says of this church, you come behind in no gift. Now let's think about that church. This church is so messed up, they've got a leader in the church who's coming in, probably sitting on the front row, and everybody in town knows that guy's sleeping with his father's wife. And yet the leadership is so weak, they don't say anything about it. Not until Paul rebukes them with a letter and gets them. So you got sin in the camp, like even the heathen will not allow that. Okay? And the leadership of the church is so weak, and yet they're puffed up. If you read that letter, Paul says, you guys are all puffed up, and you don't have a leader strong enough to put a stop to that. Okay? I'm just trying to show you, it's a messed up church, okay? Yet you come behind in no gift. One of the reasons God was using them that way in the gifts, it is to qualify for certain offices, but it's also to come against pride. He'll use B today in the, now B is very mature, but I just know B loves me and won't hit me later. But let's say B was one of those in the early church, you know. And so God uses her today. I mean, a real bona fide miracle. I mean, a miracle. She prays for somebody. Why is that? Sister Goiter. We'll just pick Sister Goiter, who comes in with a goiter almost as big as her head. She looks like a two-headed person. And B, in the name. And that day, the gift of the working of miracles is working in her. And splat. That goiter just falls off on the floor. Oh, see, and if B is if she's young in the Lord and not been mortified and matured, she'll start saying, "Yes, yes, that was me. Did you notice God used me? Did He use you? I don't think so. He used me. You know." Well, see, and if God continues to do that, it's only going to exasperate. It's going to make that situation worse. So the next day, she's getting ready to go. You know, they've got somebody else come in with another growth of some kind. And B goes over and lays hands on that person. She uses the name. She this, she that, and nothing happens. And this day, it's Fred. Fred back there. And the Lord moves on Fred, speaks, if you go up and lay your hand on this person. And Fred comes up, and that day the Lord uses him in the working of miracles. That's one of the ways that one of the reasons why the Lord does it that way is to keep you from getting the fat head. Amen. Dave was so funny when he would used to teach about that. He'd say, he was so scared at first. I forget what, it might have been an ear that opened. I think it was a lady whose ear opened. And he was so nervous at first, but then he found out that the ear opened. And Dave, he would really theatricize it. You know, he'd go, "She had a deaf ear, but I prayed for her. And when I prayed for her, she got healed." Y'all remember that? Well, the Lord had to take him down a notch. You know, you got, no, it's not you. It's not because of you. Well, it's certainly not because of this Corinthian bunch that God's using them in the gifts. Okay? So that's why I say transformation is not required to walk in the gifts. The carnal Corinthians came behind in no gift, even as messed up as they were. Now, this one's going to stretch you a bit. The gifts operated through Judas. What? Did you ever think about that? Judas the thief. He was sent out two by two. When Jesus sent out the 12, he was in one of those groups. And the Lord used Judas in the gifts. Say right now, say, "I qualify. He can use me today. Surely I'm not as bad as Judas." Anyway. That's why they're called gifts. These are not earned. This is God. This is God just using you. Start schooling you in the gifts. And there is absolutely no reason that the gifts cannot start to be manifested through you. And I mean today. Okay? Now getting into the lesson that he taught me. He said, the number one obstacle that prevents people from walking in the gifts is they have no sense of the reality that I am with them. You know, everything we've been doing since we started this series, I'm thinking right now of the day that we had those visual helps, the fiery tornado and the pillar of fire and that, man, that sound, that awesome sound with that roar. That power is on the inside of us. We have literally got, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That means He lives in you. It's not a power problem. It's a release of power problem. And what he says here is the number one obstacle that prevents people from walking up in the gifts. They have no sense of the reality that I am with them. Has not the word said that I have come to you forever? I am with you. I am with you forever, says the Spirit of grace. Then he says, awareness of my presence is vital and key to operating in the gifts. Understand that I am with you, whether you're aware of it or not. Did you get that? But lack of awareness brings lack of faith. Lack of awareness brings lack of expectation. Lack of awareness causes the leadership that comes by vision, by the inward witness, and by words spoken in your spiritual ear to be dismissed. Do not dismiss these things, for it is by these that I manifest the gifts through you, says the Spirit of the Lord. This is what the prophet meant, and this was an encounter I had with a prophet. This is what the prophet meant when he said, "My anointing comes as you stay close to my Spirit." Did you get that? Remember those words. He spoke the truth to you. As you are constantly aware that I am with you, as much as you would be aware that any other person was with you. Remember, the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not a power that goes with you. The Holy Spirit is a who. He is a he. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will show you things to come. Do not dismiss my leadings, my witness, my visions, my voice, for these are the things by which I operate the gifts through you. What I show you, do. What I say, say. Where I say go, go. And how I show you to act, act. If you dismiss these things, I cannot manifest the gifts through you. But if you are aware that I am with you and that these things are from me, and you perform your promise to me that you will obey without question, if you will do that, if you follow through on that, now get this, I will never fail you. I will never fail to manifest the mind of Christ in your midst, says the Spirit of grace. Let's do this first one, the word of wisdom. I'm going to read it to you. You can print this out for yourself. Study it again. Say, well, I've already read that. Read it again. Are you operating in the gifts? No. Read it again. Okay. We weren't either when this came. We weren't either. Maybe a tiny little bit. I think Sue had seen an angel before this came. Sue operates in discerning of spirits, and he even mentions that in here, that at the time he gave this, she was much more proficient at that than I was. And she still is today, to be honest with you. But anyway, I digress. Let's talk about the word of wisdom. You will find that the word of wisdom operates primarily in vision form. Whether it be an internal vision, such as what you describe as teaching visions, or whether it be an open vision, expect them both, and I've had them both. You will find that the word of wisdom also comes very often by dreams. You will have to learn which of these dreams are from me and which are from natural sources. When a word of wisdom comes by vision or by dream, very often you will also hear my voice speaking to your ear, interpreting what you are seeing. Sometimes you will hear my voice, sometimes not. But learn to trust these internal visions and these dreams concerning the future. You will become more and more expert with practice. Say with me, with practice. Say, I won't get any better without practice. So he says here, you will become more and more expert with practice as you expect me to manifest the word of wisdom. Now get this, all the time. Not just in services. Okay? And that would sure be the case if you're not in the fivefold. You're not ever at the pulpit anyway. You know? I mean, God wants to use us in the gifts at Walmart, on your job, at school, whatever it is you do for a living. He wants to use you in the gifts. And it's the first manifestation. It's the first level. Now, I'm going to do the word of knowledge before I give some examples, because these two just go together so much. So he says on the word of knowledge, you will find that the word of knowledge can also come by vision and by dream. But more frequently, you will find that it comes by revelation alone. Suddenly, you will just simply know. You will just know something that you have no way of knowing from the natural point of view. Knowledge from the mind of Christ simply imparted to you. One minute you know, the previous minute you did not know. This comes often, and expect it to come by revelation knowledge. Now get this, do not dismiss it. Well, let's talk about this in a practical way, because at the time this was all happening at the ugly building. Most of you have heard me teach on how the face-to-face documents came. I was just doing what Pastor Dave teaches in his series titled Distinguishing God's Voice. And I would pray till my lips rolled off on the floor. I'd get quiet and listen for those tongues, and I could hear the tongues, but they would fade, and I'd do it again. I try and emphasize that this was not a four-hour project. This went on for days, weeks, months, and it was slow. I got discouraged like anybody gets discouraged. I'd throw up my hands, I'd quit, I'd throw a little hissy fit, and then I'd come back and do it again. And then do it again. Until I began to hear him in English. And as I would hear him, I'd speak it into a recorder, and then we'd have that transcribed. And that's what I'm reading from. So, but at the time, we weren't operating much, hardly at all, in the gifts of the Spirit. We were reading this and going, okay. But I started practicing, doing my best to practice that being aware that he is with me. See, you've got to become aware that you're not alone. The Holy Spirit is in you all the time, that pulsating, throbbing power in you, and love. It's not, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, he is the Spirit. See, it seems like the first gift people want to operate in is the gift of prophecy. They can tell you how you're wrong. I'm telling you right now, that's not how it works. If you're going to get that, he's going to be telling you how you're wrong. Okay? The gifts are to help people, not to harm them. Now, for example, we're practicing this. We're doing our best. And it's scary for us like it's scary for anybody. This does not come natural. I remember one of the first ones that really impacted me that I knew had to be God. I was in Korea. I don't know anybody in Korea except Pastor Jin-ho and Sune. I don't know anybody else there at all. First time I ever went. And you preach, and then they have a line, and you've got all these people in line, and they don't even speak English, you know. Pastor does, and he does all the interpreting. So I'm praying for people. He would tell me what they were up there for, and I just got started good. I mean, I may be the third or fourth one. There's probably 50 more to pray for down through here. And about the third or fourth one, I suddenly saw... I mean, here's this nice man, looks like he's maybe 45 to 50. And right next to him on the floor was a tool pouch. See, my dad was a carpenter by trade for many years, and he had a tool pouch. They used to have these leather canvas type bags. And I saw a bag just like that right next to this guy. It wasn't really there, but I saw it, and it had hammers and saws and levels and stuff, just like I remember my dad always had. And I'm seeing it just as I can see him and I can see it. But I know it's not really there. So everything that I'd ever heard was running through me. All right, this has got to, there's a reason for this. It's a word of wisdom, it's a word of knowledge, it's something. I don't know what it is. All right, I didn't know what else to do, so I just turned to Pastor Jin-ho and I said, Pastor, before I pray for this man, I'm seeing right next to him this bag of tools. I mean, I just, it's got hammers and saws and levels and things in it. And I'm just seeing that. And I could tell by the reaction by Pastor Jin-ho's face that a connection was being made. And so when I finished talking, Pastor Jin-ho said, well, this is Elder so-and-so. He is our hammer and saw man here at the church. He is the one that fixes everything and takes care of the building. And if we need a stage built or anything or a prop, he is our hammer and saw guy. Then I knew. I said, would you tell him what I saw? And make sure he understands that you had never told me that. and tell him the same God that gave me that information. Maybe that'll help him understand that what I'm about to tell him is from God too. Now, isn't that something? A validation for that man who's, here's this preacher from America, he doesn't know it all. But suddenly a validation for him that the word he's about to receive comes from the same one that knows him that well. Isn't that good? Do you think I felt good that night? I saw a bag on the hand. The word of knowledge, and I don't say this to scare anybody or anything, it'll just happen. It doesn't have to be in a prayer line, but I have more experience with prayer lines than anything else. I can't tell you the number of times that the Lord has shown me internet fingers, where sometimes a man, sometimes a woman, having problem with pornography. And never yet has he ever had me embarrass anybody or expose that or even tell it publicly at all. I'm not saying he never would, but he never has. It was always so I would know better how to pray. And you don't pray. You don't pray, oh God, deliver this person from pornography. No, you don't pray. But you do pray deliverance. Father, I thank you for total freedom in every area of this person's life. I bind every attack of the devil and all that type of thing. See, these words, they come very often by vision. What? See, I could have, yes, sir. I could easily, because I was unfamiliar with it, I could have ignored that whole little thing about the bag and just prayed a normal Gary prayer. I'm not interested in Gary prayers anymore. I want the power of the Holy Spirit to be loosed. See, really what this gospel is about is not so you can work for the kingdom. It's so Jesus can do his work through us for the kingdom. It's to loose the power of the Holy Spirit. He told me one time, he says, one of the reasons, son, that you have so much trouble hearing my voice, you keep expecting my instructions to come in such a way it will cause you to move. He said, my instructions come in such a way that they release me to move, meaning the Holy Ghost. I'm thinking right now again of the message I did a year or two ago about the crane operator. Remember the crane operator and the Cheeto dust? I was teaching on, we are the doers, but the Holy Spirit is the helper. Well, years ago, I was doing some work at a steel mill up in Laclede, at Laclede Corporation up in East Alton, Illinois, I think it was. And they had a big crane, overhead crane, had a little cabin in there. The guy actually, he goes with the crane. I mean, his little cab is part of the whole operation. And, you know, I'm doing some engineering studies up there. He was a friendly guy, all right, but he's there every day. I mean, that's his place. There's crushed up soda cans on the floor. There's empty bags of Cheetos around. He had a little bit of a belly. One button was open, you know. He was sitting there that one day, and his fingers were just orange from the Cheetos. Now, the reason I'm saying all that, this guy is far from perfect. But you know what he did know how to do? Man, he knew how to operate the little controls on that. It's kind of like a PlayStation, kind of like a Game Boy, you know. But this is moving a giant crane. Now, he's just this guy. He doesn't have any supernatural power. But he knows how to operate that crane. And he knows how to release the power that's in the crane. And he would move that thing around, drop it right down where it needed to go. They would tie the chains around those I-beams. I mean, it'd be so many I-beams that I don't think 50 men could have budged them an inch. So heavy. They'd just hook those chains around there, just with his little thumbs, munching on Cheetos. And that crane would pick those I-beams up without just no effort at all. Go over, set them down on the truck. That is the relationship we're supposed to have with the Holy Spirit. We're not perfect. The Corinthians were not perfect. But just like that man knew how to co-labor with his crane, God is calling us to learn how to co-labor with the Holy Spirit. And at first, the first instruction, become aware that I'm with you. Become a candidate. Always be aware. And when those visions come, I'm telling you, they come like flashes. It's easy most of the time to ignore them. It's easy. And sometimes when you get them, you don't know what to do with them. You know, you have to seek Him even for that. But as time goes on, didn't he say with experience, with practice, with use, you become more and more expert. Cheeto dust and all. He's not waiting till you get perfect. He sure wasn't waiting till the Corinthians got perfect. Let's do another one. The gift of faith. He says about the gift. Now, this is different than faith. Every Christian has faith. This is the gift of faith. When Dave would teach on this, he talks about the first time that the gift of faith ever really manifested through him. And he was in this service, and I may get the details slightly off, but the essence of it is correct. And he says, when that gift of faith is on you, you think like God. And nothing is impossible. And there was this guy that had this bad arm that couldn't be raised up. And I just walked over there and I grabbed that arm and I lifted it up like this. And the guy screamed, ah, wait, it doesn't hurt. And the man got healed. That night, when Dave's mind came back to him, he had a natural dream, not a God dream. And in the natural dream, when he raised that arm up, it came off, it broke it off the man. And the man took the arm and was beating Dave with it. But see, that's the difference between when you're natural and the gift of faith. It's God's faith. And when it comes on you, you act. You cannot not believe at that moment. So the way he said it to me, he said, but the gift of faith must be expected. It cannot be operated by you. And I think the better word would be initiated. It cannot be initiated by you. But it can be expected by you. He's told me. Now here's an instruction. He told me. And I remember walking the floor. This was a confession I did. I don't know how many hours. How many days. He told me to say often. There is no lack of faith with me. If I were to come to the end of my faith, then the Father gives me the very faith of Christ, and it is impossible for me not to believe. Sue's probably heard those sentences thousands of times. Just walking the floor, saying them again, saying them again, saying them again, trying to run a groove in my brain that'll be there forever. There is no lack of faith with me. If I come to the end of my faith, I'm just starting on His faith. Isn't that good stuff? He says, so as you expect a never-ending supply of faith, you released me to manifest the gift of faith through you. Never take thought by saying, I don't have enough faith. I'll tell you, over these 20 years, I probably have. I probably slipped back into that and then had to repent. Okay? Well, what do you do with any sin? You repent. Get back to it again. Then he said to me, you have more faith than you know. But even if you were to come to the end of your faith, I will bring you His faith. There is no lack of faith for you. That good stuff. Regarding the gifts of healings, most people fail in the operation of the gifts of healings because they are not willing to obey without question the instructions I give to them. The instructions very often seem bizarre, and they simply will not obey without question. I am speaking of such things as when you see in the Gospels where Jesus would spit and touch the tongue. We read that and we don't really see what's going on. Come here, you need healing? Now don't anybody come. Come right up here. You can't speak? Oh, just a minute. Just a minute. Let me get a good one here. Yeah. you understand that's what happened? He spit and touched the tongue. All to Jesus I surrender, except when it comes to spitting on the tongue. You remember the time he told me? I was praying for this lady in this little bitty church. And I'm just minding my own business. And this beautiful, sweet, little blue-haired, elderly woman just looked like a little Southern belle, perfectly coiffed, everything just... And he says, put your finger in her mouth. And I felt like going, Sue, God's telling you something. Man, I tried to ignore that. I tried to just ignore that. And he came again. Put your finger in her mouth. Oh, God. Please, God, no. And the last time he says, are you going to obey me or not? So I come up to her. She's only about this tall. I'm short, but she's like this tall to me. I said, do you want me to obey God? I'm trying to set her. You want me to obey God? Oh, I want you to obey God. Really? You do? Okay, good. And I took her little jaw and I opened her mouth and I went, poop. Put my finger and her little eyes went, boing. How did Dave say that? Like saucer lids, you know. And I was, boy, if you ever wanted to hear Gabriel's trumpet or the liquid gold start pouring down through the ceiling or anything, but it was nothing. I'm telling you, nothing. And so finally I said, okay, thank you. And I moved on to the next one, you know. Man, I never was so glad for a service to be over in my life. But wouldn't you know it, they wanted to go to the IHOP pancake house right after that. And guess who sat right next to me? That lady. So I was telling her again, I was going, I don't know why he told me to do that. I just know that he told me to do it. And she was very nice. She was having mercy on me. She said, oh, that's all right. That's all right. She said, but you might want to wipe the lipstick off your finger. But fast forward a year, we were fixing to go back to that same church a year later. And that lady had a granddaughter who was going to be graduating. It's usually in May when we go down there. And she had a granddaughter that was going to be graduating the same night we were going to be there. So she called and told the pastor to make sure and let me know. She says, I want you to let Gary know that all my life I've suffered with cold sores. Every kind of cold sore inside my mouth. All that. I just have it so bad. And I want you to know ever since that he obeyed God, those have been reduced by 80%. Now, why not 100%? I don't know. Maybe I didn't leave my finger in there long enough. I don't know. But I do know she was happy. She wasn't upset. She was happy. And I'm happy. If she got 80% relief, hey, I'll put my finger in the next one's mouth, you know. I do make a really good practice of washing my hands before every service now. Now, let me tell you about one more while we're talking. This one we're talking about the gift of faith. Right now, and the work, they all kind of work together, to be honest with you. I had another one. I thank God I didn't know all this information. But I had another person come up who was sitting in a chair. They were already in a chair by the time I got to them in the line. I didn't see them come in, you know, they're in the chair. And, you know, she said, man, my back has given me problems. I'm telling you, just unbearable. Well, I've been trained by Dave Roberson. What do you do for somebody that has back problems that's sitting in a chair? What do? You kneel down in front of them. Okay, give me your legs here. And I had this lady's legs with her ankles. But when she brought them up, one shoe was a platform shoe that had a heel on it a good 5 inches or so. In order to make that leg be the same as the other leg. I said, oh my God. In the name. And at first there was absolutely nothing. I'm telling you, I didn't feel nothing. Now I've had that happen before where I did. I'd pray in the name and man, that leg would just move like I've seen it do with Dave so many times. I've had that happen. I could feel the leg sliding across the palm of my hand, you know. But this time, nothing. Oh, God. Well, after a little while, you got to move on to the next one. Lord, I just thank you that it's done. So I'm praying. I'm going on to the next one. I think I'm the third one down. And all of a sudden, there's a commotion from back where I came from, earlier in the line. And there's shouting going on. Because now the lady had to take that platform shoe off. Because the leg grew out and she couldn't walk with it anymore. Oh, my Lord. Now, she told me later, said, I was born this way. I was born with one leg shorter than the other. I've been like this my whole life. Not anymore. Isn't that something? Now, can Gary do that? There is absolutely, Gary cannot do that. And that lady would not have gotten that miracle if the Holy Spirit had not prepared me ahead of time where I'm expecting these working of miracles and co-laboring and working with him to happen, see. Well, it's just a matter of training for all of us. And I'm telling you, it starts with the awareness that he is with you and knowing all the power is on his end. You're the Cheetos guy. He's just asking you to learn how to work with him like the guy in the crane with the knobs. He's not expecting you to be perfect, but he's expecting you to learn how to cooperate with him. Do what he said earlier. What I say to say, say that. What I say do, do that. Where I say go, go there. All right. The number one obstacle to the working of miracles is natural thinking. It's programming received by a lifetime of information through the five physical senses. He said this to me. Now, this may hurt some. Like, okay, now, Gary, this may hurt some. But it is regarding your God small that prevents the gift of the working of miracles. We just regard him small. He said, think you it is harder for me to work a miracle than it is for me to make it rain? Think you it is harder for me to work a miracle than for you to take your next breath? The working of miracles must become a small thing to your mind. Now, I'll just tell you this. Many years after this event is when he gave me the hula hoop message. Y'all remember the hula hoop message, which is talking about the fourth dimension and the third dimension? Once, and all of that is based on Isaiah, where he says, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts, and so forth. And it goes all the way back to that hula hoop, which I would lay down and representing like a two-dimensional universe. In that hula hoop illustration, like this dove circle here could represent that. All they have is width and length. There's no height. So if you had a hula hoop there, it would present an impassable barrier for anyone in a two-dimensional world, because all they have is width and length. There is no concept of height to go over. There is no concept of down to go under. All they have is width and length, and they would come bumping up against that barrier of the hula hoop. It'd be an impossible barrier. But somebody from the third dimension, from our dimension, if we're watching that poor little creature bumping up against that thing, what we would do if we wanted to help, we would just reach down and get that person, lift them up, set them down on the other side of the barrier, and they're free. Now, to the people living there, as soon as we lifted them up, they disappeared. And when they set them back down, they reappeared on the other side of the wall. We don't know how it happened. We don't know how. It was a miracle. And from us, we're going, oh, brother. Easiest thing in the world. That's what he's trying to tell us. He is from some completely higher realm than this three-dimensional world that we work in, that we live in. Where he's from, this is not hard. And we have got to get it through our heads that all things are possible. And he wants to do them even through us. So we must stop regarding our God small. He said, your concept of your God must grow, and it has since then. You must understand that there is nothing impossible with him. Therefore, there is nothing impossible with you. Then he said this, the working of miracles is as nothing to me. I remember when I heard that, I went, what? But now that I've been through the hula hoop thing, I'm going, well, of course. It's absolutely nothing to him. Your mind must develop to that capacity. And as with the gifts of healings, instant obedience without question to what I say and what I show you is required. He says, delay and hesitation kills the working of this gift. But I will perform miracles that will astound you and astound the world if you will follow through on your promise of obedience without question. Many shall come to the Lord, for they shall see the working of miracles. Is this not our revival? Many shall come to the Lord as they see the working of miracles as infallible proof that Christ lives in you. Instant obedience and respect for the largeness of your God is what causes the working of miracles to be manifested through you. Okay, I'm going to go a little quicker. The gift of prophecy. Now, in fact, I'm going to do it this way. Instead of me reading these, I don't want to put everybody to sleep. This is available at the website. You can just print out your own copy and read it. Let me say some things that's not here. Experience with prophecy. Listen, the number one thing about prophecy, you don't get to hear it and judge it first. I've never had one come that way, where I get to hear it, go type it out, reword it, spell check it. Now, I'm not saying it can't, but I'm talking the kind of prophecy where it, you know, like you see up here where maybe I pray in tongues and then interpret that tongue. I hear it when you hear it. That's why it's scary as all get out. It is scary. It takes practice. Okay? But the gift of prophecy, he can use anybody for the gift of prophecy. Discerning of spirits, the first thing I want to say about discerning of spirits, it is not the gift of suspicion. I discern that thou art something wrong with you. No. First off, discerning of spirits, it literally means you'll be able to see devils and see angels. Sue is much more adept at that than I am. She has seen both. But Sue is also more adept at discerning heart motivations of people when they're being deceptive. Okay? And you'll learn that too. Discerning of spirits. When it comes to that, he says, I'm going to read that one. He says, as I've already told you regarding discerning of spirits, expect this gift to be more finely honed in you day by day. You have operated in this gift more than you realized, and in Sue it is very finely tuned. For now, trust this gift in her more than in yourself. She flows in this one quite readily. Men, God didn't give you your wife for no reason. I had to learn to respect the gifts that are in my wife. I told you about that tax deal that time where I didn't listen to her. It nearly cost me $70,000. So I've learned to listen. God speaks through my wife too. But both of you shall grow in it as your awareness of my presence to manifest it for you increases. Now get this. See, you shall see into the realm of the Spirit. And you shall discern the motivations, the intents, and purposes that are in the hearts of men. The former comes primarily by vision. The latter comes primarily by the inner witness. Sometimes the latter comes by my speaking in your ear. Do not dismiss these things. They are how I manifest the discerning of spirits in your life. To me, one of the greatest, one person that really operated in that a lot was Kenneth E. Hagin. And if you've ever read some of the things that he wrote, he why isn't this person getting healed? And God would give him discerning of spirits, and he would literally see devils in operation. He would see what was going on, then he would know what to do. I haven't really had that so much, but I'm pressing towards that mark. I know that's available. Divers kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. You have to be a candidate for it. Say, well, what if I make a mistake? Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. We've all made mistakes. He loves you anyway. He'll pick you up, dust you off, teach you how to do it better the next time. I don't believe it's in this set. There's another set in another teaching One time I was so proud of myself. We were right over here praying for this lady. And I thought it was the word of knowledge and all kinds of good things, because all of a sudden I knew how many children she had, and I knew if they were boys. I can't remember all the details now. It's been a lot of years. But I knew how many children she had, and I knew whether they were girls or boys, and I knew this, and I knew that, and I'm going, doggone, I am operating in these gifts. And all of this is in one of the lessons at the face-to-face. The very next time I was alone with him at the ugly building, he says, "You didn't receive that information by the Holy Spirit. That's not a word of knowledge or anything." He said, no, you received that through a familiar spirit. He said, "Notice you didn't receive that information till you touched her." Y'all ever see mediums at work and fortune tellers and hypnotists? Normally they got to have something, right? They got to have something that's been in their possession. He said, now he said this to me. I don't remember if there was a percentage. He said, "But many in my church who think they're operating by the gifts of the Spirit are operating together with familiar spirits and don't even know it." So he gave me an instruction that at the time, he says, "Don't ever touch them until I have finished telling you what I want to tell you." Okay? Now, that was in my training period. I can touch them now. I know how to shut that flow off. But that took experience. Okay? I'm just saying, in learning to co-labor with the Holy Spirit, we're going to have to grow from where we are right now. Say it with me again. "Father, I covet. I want really bad every gift of the Spirit to flow through me. Lord, I covet it. And I covet it earnestly. I want to be thinking about this tonight when I go to sleep, tomorrow when I get up. And I'm going to continually be aware that the Holy Spirit is with me. The Holy Spirit is in me to minister power by the gifts of the Spirit. Lord, I am a candidate. This is part of how you do your work. And I am available. I want you to know I am available for you to use me in the gifts of the Spirit. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name." Oh, no, before we finish. "Now, Father, I know there is a more excellent way, and I am going to pursue love even more than power. But while I'm on that journey, I covet the gifts. I'm expecting the gifts. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. All right. Well, thank you. You talk to him like that, it won't be long. Now, what I'm telling you now, I'll tell you, I prophesy. I prophesy without the yeah. It's going to start happening. And if you're not careful, you're not going to recognize it. Because very often these words of wisdom, word of knowledge, they don't always come and stay like that bag I told you about. Sometimes they're fast, they're quick. And don't dismiss them. Say, "Hey, bring that back. What was that? Come back." You know, while you're learning how to do this. Okay? And he will. I know. Don't you know how I know? I've done it many times. And then you don't always even know then what to do with it. Ask him. He'll show you. Wouldn't it be something if he grew a leg out at Walmart? Wouldn't it be something if you opened a blind eye at Reese's, you know? Glory to God. And be sure he gets all the glory. Don't be going, "I." Hallelujah. All right. You're dismissed.